Preface. Welcome back. I'm so glad that you have desired to continue in the journey of this series with me. I love the direction that the story is going, and I hope I can live up to your expectations in this second book. As you know from reading the first book in the series, all I wanted to do was to provide a form of wholesome entertainment and to answer some simple questions. How could Lucifer, who dwelt in the very presence of God, elect to rebel against his creator? What could have gone so wrong that a third of heaven would turn their backs on God? My answer was, and is, the fictional series entitled The Third Heaven. The first novel, The Third Heaven, The Rise of Fallen Stars, directly answers this question. In this second novel, The Birth of God, I attempt to pull back the curtain again, and both ask and speculatively answer, what were some of the aftershocks that took place after Lucifer's fall? How did heaven react, and view some of the events that we have read in our Bibles? As in the prior novel, I want to reiterate that this is a speculative work of fiction. This novel is not scripture. I do not profess divine inspiration, nor would I ever attempt to place this work alongside the Word of God. It's just a story. I love the Bible, and I am only attempting to provide an entertaining look on the biblical events we both hold dear and love. Please do not take the work as a serious attempt at biblical scholarship, but instead as a serious attempt to provide a form of wholesome Christian entertainment along the lines of C.S. Lewis, Tolkien, or Frank Peretti. The book is not meant to be a prescriptive doctrinal work by any means, any more than The Lord of the Rings. I think if we can agree that it's just that, then I think you as a reader should be fine. You have pushed me to do better as an author, and I hope my love for the characters and story of this fictional world comes through and meets your expectations. I have received such wonderful words of encouragement and praise that I look forward to continuing this series with you. We are halfway there. I am so thankful to you who have read the first novel. Words can't express enough what your readership has meant to me. Okay, I'm not going to get teary-eyed, so let me not go off on a tangent. Sniffle, sniffle. By the way, there is a glossary in the back, and some of you might want to familiarize yourself with it prior to jumping into the novel. Like in the previous novel, where possible, I have tried to be consistent with the teaching of Scripture or what church fathers have said concerning the subject of angelology. Overall, I have taken the liberty to use my sanctified imagination to tell a story that might spur further interest in the Word of God, yet also create an entertaining tale. In the end, I want to tell a story full of wonder and told in such a manner as I might want such a story told to me. Toni Morrison put it this way: if there's a book you really want to read, but it hasn't been written yet, then you must write it. I am still striving to do that. I hope this work is enjoyable to you and spawns your further interest to perhaps learn more about God and the Bible, and who knows, maybe even to follow Jesus Christ. With both love and highest regards, Donovan. Prologue. Only in heaven could such evil be spawned. Only thy bosom could conceive such audacity. For it was you who seeded man to know sin, and by thy hand was iniquity discovered. Ye are the author of the dark, the genesis of corruption, a universe fallen, and thy war hast exposed us all to the taint of sin. Your spite over El's choosings of our siblings hast brought nothing but destruction. 'Twas your lust to be as El that sparked your affliction. You now banquet at the table of thy choices. Thus what word would you speak that my ears might give pause to listen? Michael's voice carried over the screams of the damned, each pining to escape the flames of the lake of fire. Yet within the great canyon of fire, there was a wisdom within the pyre's collected souls to give space to the usurper. Thus, Michael and Lucifer continued their exchange uninterrupted. Lucifer spoke in his bellicose manner, and the power of his voice, even from the lake of fire, shook the ground where he stood. Are you satisfied, Michael? Are thou content? For look about you, as generations of Elohim and human languish before your eyes, and you do nothing, nothing. This, little brother, is your legacy. Michael was unmoved. Again you speak, but falsehood is all that is spoken. 'Twas not I who sought the power of God as a thing to be grasped, neither I that rebelled against the Father. You did. For promotion cometh from the Lord, but you would have robbed him of all. Do not speak to me of what has been lost. And what would you have me do, Michael? Stand by and watch idly whilst our people were subjugated to the humans? Nay, my attack on El and his pestilence was his doing. I will resist his will by any means necessary, yea, even violent overthrow. Michael chortled. And yet you would incite terror against the humans? To have them worship us instead of their creator? You are mad. Indeed, Michael, we are deserving of worship. El needs us, Michael, do you not see? He needs us to believe in him, even as he needs the faith of humans. El is Alpha and Omega. El needs no one, Michael roared. Then you still do not understand, brother, said Lucifer. We were hunted like dogs, made to scavenge off the souls of men. In battle, armies must live off the land. El cast us on this island of a moat with no manna to sustain us, to let us waste away while the humans were awash in food. I did what was necessary to survive. It was inevitable that the humans would be but food for us. No, brother, I do not have remorse over my actions. Repentance runs not through my veins. No, I would not do things differently. Release me, and I would do it again. Lucifer looked with rage upon his brother and raised his fists high into the air. I would do it again! Michael guffawed. Your rage has smote the heavens and released sin into the realms. You are the contagion to the kingdom, a corruption now contained within the flames. I thrive in sin, Michael, for sin is the only thing that keeps El at bay. El is creator of all things. Yea, from whence doest evil come, if not from the author of creation? Michael had heard enough. For millennia you have stood as accuser to our brethren. Now I stand on the edge of the gulf of the lake of fire and speak to one judged traitor, tempter, and deceiver. You are dead to me. Away with your lies. For your crimes hast reached to heaven, and the list of thy corruption is now known. Michael turned to walk away, and Lucifer called after him. King of lies, said Lucifer. Nay, I have spoken only the truth concerning El. Even now I stand in judgment. Why? Because I alone am willing to voice that, which others have feared to say about our God. El fears, Michael. He fears my words, for he knows that if I were released even now, after 1,000 years of this torment, even now my voice would ring throughout the realms, and armies would rise to follow me. Michael continued to walk and flexed his great wings that he might fly away, and Lucifer yelled after him, Thou art the reason that Raphael died! Michael paused. Yes, continued Lucifer. You would condemn me to the fate of a fire that is never quenched, but our brother's death is from thine own hand, not mine, Michael, not mine. Michael weighed his brother's words, and he ruminated that had he not destroyed the kiln, his brother would not have succumbed to dissolution by the godstones. Suddenly, grief overtook Michael, and he choked back tears and doubled over for grief, as the loss of his brother was as yesterday. The ages past played themselves before him, and sorrow washed over him as he reminisced on the loss of his brother. Lucifer smiled, knowing that for the moment Michael entertained his words, grinning with the fiendish hope that perhaps he might still lay seed for rebellion to spring forth once again. Chapter 1. Aftermath. It has been less than one Earth week since the dissension, and El has yet to summon the Lumazi. A third of my brethren have been exiled across the multiverse. My family, my home, All have been torn apart. I needed to leave the city for a time, to look upon creation in solitude, to escape the maimed, the groans of the injured, and destruction of the city of my birth. So I took flight, that I might find quietness near the great canyon and the maelstrom. I recalled how the winds had gripped me. I wonder what might have been if both my brother and I had been lost to the clutches of the abyss. What if? For it was in this place where Lucifer learned that a ladder could escape anything, yea, even the abyss. Here is where he remembered that escape from hell was possible. Here he learned this knowledge by rescuing me. I looked over the abyss now sealed by El himself. Only here at the edge of the maelstrom do I find something familiar, something of comfort. For the great gulf that lies between the realms had remained untouched during the war. I sat listening to the howling winds of the maelstrom. Their gusts washed across my face, and there was solace in the familiarity of the breeze. It whispered and brought to remembrance times when Lucifer and I would work to extend the foundation of heaven. I recalled his smile and the way his kindness often was masked by his need to abide by royal protocol. For he was the chief prince and the first of angels, and yet I missed his song. Resting, Michael? I turned to see that Gabriel had landed behind me. I tossed a stone to the racing winds. The abyss reminds me of better times. Yet as I see this seal, I am ever warned of he who lies therein. I had sought to escape, but for a moment the rebuilding of the city and the burbs round about. Yet even here I am forced to see the hand of my brother on creation. For there seemeth no escape, and yet I have grown weary of rebuilding, Gabriel. Each stone uncovers nothing but loss and grief. Many of my kind have left to follow Lucifer. Thus the rebuilding goes slower. Moreover, with the kiln stone silent, the workforce I once commanded has been diminished. I am still assessing how the absence of so many impacts us. What of Argoth? Said Gabriel. He is able to count all things. Surely he can account for thy people and assist on how best to administer thy efforts. Hast thou sought his counsel? Michael frowned. I have yet to talk with him. Raphael's absence is still too fresh. I am not yet ready to speak with him. Moreover, there is a coldness about him, something that I cannot place about his demeanor. He was asleep during the rebellion, yet his words seep of condemnation, as if Lucifer's failing was our doing. I do not quite know what to make of him, Gabriel. I believe he holds us, and me in particular, in contempt for the loss of the realm's champion. Gabriel placed his hand on his brother's shoulder and spoke softly. It was not you who betrayed our father, nor your hand that moved Lucifer to raise arms against us. I saw Lucifer as he ascended to the Godhead. We all did. If you had not stopped him... Gabriel paused to collect himself. El was wise to make you captain over us. I shifted on the stone and pondered if I will withhold from my friend what only I knew. But I needed to release this burden from within me, so I will tell him of my failure to save the kiln. There is something that you do not know, brother. What no one else knows, that it was I who destroyed the kiln. Tears welled up within my eyes. I choked up over even speaking the words, but continued. It was I who felled our womb. It was I who made the godstones to fall down upon us, to pour down upon Raphael. Finally, with but the mention of Raphael's name, hurt and ache flooded my soul. Here in the quiet, away from the populace of heaven, away from the noise of reconstruction and constant reminders of what was lost, away from the eyes of citizenry who looked desperately to me to lead, I sobbed, aching to see my brother once more, a brother who was betrayer to us all. Gabriel hugged me and leaned his head on my shoulders. I welcomed his presence, thankful that I still held yet to a member of my family. We held one another overlooking the great canyon, and I stared at the seal of the abyss that towered across the expanse of the maelstrom. stared, knowing that one day, in the fullness of time, the seal would be broken, that he who dwelt therein would be released for a season. Stared because I did not wish to cry anymore. Stared because somehow, unbeknownst to all, El had showed me that one day he would be killed.